So I understand you're doing some serious travel this weekend.
Very serious, John. Very serious. Going to New York, red eye flight, 2 days, then back to LA for a midnight flight.
Ooh, someone's
Yeah.
not going to be sleeping much.
Oh, sleep? Well, what's that?
So does this mean you're relocating once again back to California?
Yeah, once again.
So it's a California, New York thing every year or two.
It's a very Godfather thing. Just when I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
Well, that's good. So hopefully you'll get a little bit of rest so that we'll be fresh for next week's episode or the whenever that
Yes.
might be.
Well,
So
we have to do next week's episode before you go to Ecuador,
that's
John.
right. Yes, we do. So yeah, I'll be
Yeah.
traveling a week from Saturday. So we'll
Yes.
and then maybe
Are you
we'll
caravanning, John?
we're hitchhiking. No, but yeah, we're looking forward to the next part of our adventure, as I'm sure you are of yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
Well,
speaking of adventures,
yeah.
how about some baseball?
How about that? This is episode 101 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And we have not even talked about how we're gonna, carry forward this numbering system, or if we even will.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to do?
I mean, we could start all over and pick different players, or we can just move on. That was a
Okay.
novelty. It was fun while we did it.
Was
And
it fun?
I spent a good 3 minutes every morning before the show finding out who was a good candidate to represent the episode. So,
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we do either numbers from other sports or IMDb Top 100 go
Oh, I
down
like
that way?
that. Yeah, let's do
So
that. I'll
it'll
do
be
that.
like the number one film
Okay. So
on
I'll
IMDb.
pick like the American Film Institute's top 100 comedies. Comedies. Let's do comedies.
You want to do
AFI's
comedies?
top
Fair enough.
100 comedies. I'll do
Fair
that.
enough. Do you want to
Yeah.
Google that right now and then pull it up
No,
or?
we'll set the table with
So
this episode. Next week we'll start off
this will be
with 102.
100A.
Yeah. 100. Yeah, 101A.
100 dash
Oh no, but next week we'll do
subset
two. We'll do
two.
two of them. We'll do
Oh,
number
okay.
we'll do
Okay.
number one and number two.
We'll do a double header. We'll call this
Double
a
header.
rainout.
It'll be a twin bill.
All right.
Okay. Sounds good. So let's just jump into headlines
Let's
because
do
this
it.
is a baseball podcast.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
mean, mostly.
Most of the time. Yeah.
I mean, except for all our travel talk and
And
movie talk and
politics and entertainment and
Boy,
any other
politics, huh? Politics has been fun,
New
huh?
York street urine,
Yeah.
whatever.
Hey, John, are you running for president? Have you announced yet?
Not yet. Not
Are
yet.
you running for president of Ecuador?
What are we up to? Like 20? Are we almost to 20? I'm hearing names that I've never heard of before.
Here's the thing. What happened was people figured out that it's financially good for your brand and politically good for your brand to run for president, even if you lose, even if you do terribly, like Marco Rubio. Like Marco Rubio was like kind of a nobody, but he ran for president. Now he's kind of like a popular and unpopular senator.
Yeah, and doesn't he have a deal with some water brand something? He could have
The man gets
parlayed
thirsty,
that. He
John.
does
The
get
man
thirsty.
gets thirsty.
But hey, and by some weird stroke of luck, you may not think you have a chance. You're just trying to help your business brand, and you could wind up president.
I mean,
It could
if
happen.
anything that 2016 has shown us is that
It could
literally
happen.
it could happen.
I'm just waiting for some of these celebrities who have talked about running to throw their hats in the ring. They haven't yet. We'll
Yeah.
see. We'll
Yeah.
see.
Well, that's because they don't want to have their private lives investigated.
That could be true. That's a big part of it. Look what happened to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Wait. You mean because
They
they
could.
found out that he was banging the maid
Right,
and
yeah.
literally everybody?
Poor Maria. So back to baseball.
Oh,
We
right.
have kind of the weird injury story of the year. Jacob deGrom, elbow injury. Oh, he's soft tossing 2 days later and looks like he's good to go.
Yeah, like everyone's apoplectic about him. They're like, oh no, he's out. Oh no, you know, he is really one of the top three pitchers in baseball yeah. right now. Mm-hmm. And then like, then he's gonna go get an MRI, and then there's people see him throwing a baseball. And like, well, that's not good for
that's not pre MRI activity.
That's actually bad. Like most right. doctors would say, no, don't do that, Jacob.
Yeah. So he's looks like he's just gonna miss one start.
Yeah,
maybe two.
MRI is clean. Maybe clean. Just a little tenderness. You know, maybe he was trying a little tenderness.
good stuff here. We're rolling.
Maybe it was Dr. Guy Fieri, and he was like, this is very, very tender.
Very tender. Tasty, too.
He went to Flavortown. Jacob DeGrom went to Flavortown.
Went to Flavortown.
Where Dr. Fieri told him, no, this is just tender.
Just a little tender. So Aaron Judge is the latest Yankee, and I just saw this morning, too, Clint Frazier. So the Yankees are just piling everybody into the IL bus.
Sanchez came off the IL.
Yep.
Clint Frazier looks like he sprained his ankle and was like, no, it's just a little guy. And he's like, well, of course he says that because he's like a young player who is hitting and hitting for power and hitting for average, and things are going great. And they're like, no, sorry, man, you're on the Yankees in 2019. Yeah. That means you got to be injured.
You got to be in. His scenario is that, you know, I'm at the dance. I'm finally doing well. Don't want to leave, which is awesome. But he's got a history of injuries. He's got all these little nagging injuries that happened to him. Not like
the concussion thing last year. And that's always,
never good for any sport.
Or humans, really.
In general, yeah. And Matt Shoemaker in tears.
Did you see that play?
It was brutal.
You see that? And you know, he knew it. He knew his knee was gone as soon as that play was over. Yeah. He was like pounding the astroturf. What's it called? Grass. Sorry. John, you're the expert down there in Mexico with your marijuana fields. Of course, you know, it's grass. It was like, I heard someone say like, oh, it looked like he sprained his ankle. Like, no, you don't pound the AstroTurf. God, why can't I just say grass, John? Yeah, you don't pound the grass unless it's something that's like horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just coming back from an injury.
Yeah,
and
he was doing so well too. Yeah. He was pitching great.
Yeah, but you know, his attitude, even though he was fighting back the tears, was that, you know, this is just another obstacle. I have to overcome it. I'll come back stronger.
Wait, was he holding back the tears? Do you think he's simply ready?
His eyes were simply red.
Okay.
Wow, this is the music episode too. You're getting, you know, bang for the buck here today, folks. Politics, baseball, and music references. And we even talked a little bit about film industry. So
we'll get some more film stuff later. Endgame's
covering
coming.
It all. Yeah. Yeah. So Matt Shoemaker out for the year, ACL, horrible.
Yeah.
Feel bad for the guy.
Yes.
And then one of your favorite players of all time, not because of him being a player, but because of his name.
Yes.
Albert Pujols. Now in fifth place with RBIs and passed a rather significant player in the history of baseball.
Oddly enough, Pujols jumped Babe Ruth. And do you remember the Babe Ruth candy bar scene?
Yes, I do.
In Caddyshack. Also looked like a turd, right?
Right.
So there's some symmetry there, right? There is. Also, he got two RBIs. He dropped a deuce. Uh-huh. Pujols dropped a deuce. Think about it.
And then when he passes Henry Aaron on any significant...
I thought you were going to say passes gas, but
no,
okay.
Then we have the O. Henry bar, too,
okay.
That has
That's
a
right.
similar... almost exactly like the Reggie bar, almost exactly like the Baby Ruth, which is if you become a power hitter, you get a candy bar that has nougat and chocolate and caramel, and it becomes a brand.
Maybe there should be a Pujols bar.
That would probably not sell well.
It would sell fine until people started saying it out loud.
Right. Have you had your Pujols today?
Yeah, Pujols. Oh, yeah, no, I was eating Pujols. And you know what I could go for right now, John? I want to put my mouth right around a Pujols.
Yeah. My mouth is covered with Pujols.
Yeah. No, it's really the great, it's like a Hall of Fame name.
It is. Unfortunately, he probably, I'm sure he's not even aware of it. in his
I'm native. Sure that he's aware of it, John.
Probably when he came to the States, because in
like
Latin
come on
countries,
you probably know every little thing that supple can be changed into, right?
I do. I knew, yeah,
like supple, right. And you know, I don't know, Sumpty Dumpty, sample, yeah. Simple,
Stumpler.
Right, all the
Stumpler
things.
Was yeah. A big name for me.
Okay, see,
yeah. So yeah,
you think Pujols doesn't know that his name means
Pujol
rectum? Like,
I think he does. I think especially once okay. He came to the States, he was very much.
Do you
aware.
Think that it wrecked him when he found out?
Damn near killed him. Oh,
all right. Let's
move along.
Let's get a move. Let's get a movement here.
Okay, moving along. Mike Paliarulo is out as the Marlins hitting coach.
Yeah.
Famous.
Good for you for knowing
great,
the name.
Great Yankees hitter. If you remember Pags and Rags, the Pags and Rags show. Paliarulo at third base and Dave Righetti in the bullpen.
Okay.
Going way back into the 90s there, or late 80s maybe even. So yeah, he wasn't the greatest hitter. I don't recall. He was more of a home run hitter type of guy, low average, high power. But he was fired after a miserable start. And I guess there is that connection, Pags and Mattingly with the Yankees.
Yeah, why do you think? Do you think they're trying to clear the way to get rid of Mattingly? I don't even understand why the Marlins would be firing like
that
oh,
early.
We're
the
really
season.
Disappointed with how the offense is doing. Like, duh? Have you seen the lineup?
Yeah, it's not. It has nothing to do with the hitting coach. It has to do with the quality, of the caliber of the players that are there right now. So, I don't know. Sometimes that makes a difference.
Just a jerk.
It could be. To me, that whole thing of the psychology of hitting does play a major part, and it's more a matter of, you know, can you overcome a down cycle? And you bounce back. But at this
stage, maybe what he did was he made eye contact with Derek Jeter, and that's against the rules.
And he's out.
He's out.
And maybe he didn't kiss his pinky ring. I don't know. But yeah, I don't think the new hitting coach, whoever that may be, is going to make a huge difference.
Right.
So I don't know anything about this next one. Tim Anderson, what was his ban?
Okay, so he did the big bat flip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is where I think it's like, this isn't a fun backflip. This is just like being a total jerk. He hits the home run and then kind of like walks over to the other side of the batter's box and then launches, like javelin throws the bat back to the on deck circle,
mm-hmm.
and then shouts something out at someone and then starts, you know, prancing along to around the bases.
Okay.
So the next time he's up, he gets a ball in the butt.
Right.
Or the thigh or whatever. And
All
hell breaks loose, and which is fine. You know, again, I don't have a problem with it. I know some people are like, oh, you can't throw at people. I'm like, no, you can. Because they're like in hockey, you have fights that keep people, you know, from turning into like Lord of the Flies. And there is a certain degree that like, yeah, you can pimp your home run. I don't have a problem with that. But when you start like dancing around and like moonwalking to first base,
right, it's
and
a little much.
Like it's a little much, and then you get a ball in the butt.
Right.
Kept it away from his head, fine. So then, but apparently, whoever threw the pitch, I think it was the Royals, right? It was Keller,
mm-hmm.
I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
So he got the usual 5-game suspension, which means
one day off. Right.
Like they'll push his start back a day. And like I think the minimum needs to be like 8 days. Lose a start,
right?
And not just like push him back a day. But Anderson, the rumor was that he flipped out, but also that it was because he was using the N-word.
Oof.
Yeah,
I think I did read something about that.
But here's the thing: he's African American.
He's African American, and Keller was was.
But anyway, so he gets. So Anderson's—they didn't say it was because of the language, but his outburst is what got him suspended, and part of the outburst included that. And it's just like, yeah, is that really a bad thing if it's coming from an African American? I don't know. I don't think they think it is.
No, I was under the impression that it was okay within that community to say that word, but not within the white community.
Right.
But not.
But if
within
the rule is you can't say it.
Right. In baseball.
Then you can't say it.
So we have one person banned for allegedly saying something. And then we have another person mocking the situation that he was in good humor. So Yasiel Puig apparently donned this T-shirt that had a picture of his brawl on it.
And have you've seen that picture, right?
I have not. I've seen the picture of the brawl. I haven't seen the T-shirt.
But the brawl itself, epic. Like, it's like a painting.
It is epic.
Like, it belongs in the Louvre. It's like, it's it's amazing. Like, the tangle of bodies, and then there's Puig right in the middle.
In
like,
the middle
it's
the of only, all this black and
it's
gold.
It's the only name you can make out, and like, and it's red and black fighting with each other. And
yeah, it's classic. And the catcher grabbing his ankle, holding onto his ankle.
Yeah, it's like amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic photo. So he is mocking that whole situation, making light of it, wearing a T-shirt.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
The thing is, like, you don't really want brawls and all that, of course. But at the same time, like, it happened.
Yeah.
And that photo is a masterpiece. So
why
make
not?
A T-shirt out of it.
And it could become a cottage industry. I'm sure there's going to be a few of those out there. He's not wearing the only one.
But I'm not a Reds fan I am a Puig fan. So I guess that's where. But I would get that framed. Like, you put that up on your wall in your office. Like,
that's a talking piece for sure.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. And it does have that kind of like, you know, those epic masters painters where they have like 2,000 people in the image, like, and they're all doing something a little bit different. Just the expressions on the
and
faces.
And you look at the different, you zoom in on the faces and you see the different
spend time
things.
Looking at each one of the individual. Yeah, it definitely has that epic feel to it.
It's a masterpiece.
It is. Folks, if you're not sure what we're talking about, there's a clip of it on, is it on Baseball Memes on Facebook?
Maybe.
Did we? Didn't you post something on it?
Did I?
Did it? Maybe not. Maybe I'll cut that out too. okay. So I didn't even hear about. I heard about Chris Davis signing an extension, which seemed like a small extension.
Years. He's a DH, right? So it's going to be limited. But you know, it's about $17 million a year, $17.5 million. That's good.
That's a nice haul. $17 million.
That's a nice haul.
Not
so 35 total. That's good for him.
Yeah, so for somebody who works,
not
what,
be a free agent.
8 minutes a day? Maybe.
But also there's that question of, like, how much value do you give a player like that who doesn't have a high on-base percentage but hits a lot of home runs and doesn't play any defense, and when he does is bad. And
yeah, he knows his space. He knows his role. Yeah. He knows who he is.
Yeah. But that's like a good value both ways, I think.
And Ozzie Albies, I didn't even hear about his extension.
Okay, so his extension, this is a thing where when I first heard about it, I was like, people were complaining how low it was, because it's like essentially, John, $45 million for 9 years.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
No one knows. No one, the agent and Albies haven't said anything about why they took the deal, other than Albies wanted to stay with Acuna and wanted to stay with the team.
Well, to do it for 5 years, the same amount.
I was like, whatever. If someone offered you $45 million, he would almost
equal that in his arbitration years.
Just in arbitration. And like, maybe the only thing I could think is maybe he has some injury or something.
Maybe he knows something we don't.
That the team and he knows about, and like, look, if that's the case, then fine. But like, in any other scenario, it's like, I mean, he should have gotten at least another double that for 9 years. Like, this is at worst a 3-win-per-year player,
right?
In his peak, and most projection systems have him at 5 wins per year. Like, that's a 22 million dollar player. Like,
that's a $180 million contract.
Over time, like, that's,
yeah.
I mean, okay, yeah. So the first few years are going to be cheap, but even if you go low on the estimates, it's like $5 million his first year in arbitration, then 10, then 15.
Yeah, I don't
like. That's still 30 right there, just for arbitration.
Right. Wow. It'll be interesting to see how that that plays out, especially especially if he does even better than projections. If he has that, you know, the breakout year,
yeah.
All of a sudden that 40, it's like Christian Yelich signed a 7-year, $49 million deal, and that deal's coming up soon.
Right.
But he's going to make a boatload of money. Albies is going to be in his, 32-year-old season? 30-year-old, 31, 32-year-old season by the end of the contract? His earning potential will be on the decline then, especially in the new economics.
Yeah. And, agent, I thought, maybe it's like a new agent or something. He doesn't know or, but I just think, even if you're we're just doing a money grab, why would you add on those extra
years?
Option
years? It's unnecessary. Yeah.
So the option years are $5 million a year or $7 million. They're nothing.
Hmm.
They're assuming he's going to be terrible.
Wow. Or maybe it's just one of those people, it's just I know my place. I'm a humble person. And to make $49 million over 9 years is ridiculously amazing.
But he's only going to make $45
million. $45 million, only $45 million.
But here's the thing. Yes, that's true. But when you're talking about someone who, they come from the Dominican or whatever, and they come from being poor, what's the difference between, why add on the option years?
Yeah,
why not just say $35
million? Right.
And then, don't do the option years.
Right.
It's so crazy. At first, I was very dismissive of the people who are getting all hot on the collar, okay, whatever, you would. But then, you look at the numbers, and it just doesn't make any sense.
No, that length is crazy.
Even if you think he's not going to be that good, that he's going to be as good as he was the second half of last season, which, by the way, he's better than now.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you think that's how he's going to be.
Yeah, his second half probably
brought
him back.
Double that contract.
Yeah.
Double that contract is still a bargain for the team.
Yeah. So I can't help but think that the Braves brass is snickering a little bit.
Oh, yeah. They pulled one over. But what's the deal with this agent? Well, I'll tell you what the deal is with this agent. This agent also represents Craig Kimbrell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So maybe Kimbrell's coming back to the Braves.
Well, that's what the thought was with they're going to, it's like a double up deal. But then Kimbrell hasn't signed with the Braves.
Hmm. Interesting. We'll see how that one plays out.
Can you imagine if that was the guy's incentive?
The
agent was no, let's just take this deal then we'll get Kimbrell a deal. But this guy's going to lose. Who's going to want to sign with this guy?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm a player, I would see
the contract situations I've heard of.
That's a business killer for him.
Yeah. Try to think of two worst contract situations in baseball in the last 5 years. You can't.
Right. It's this guy made one player no money and the other player should be making money. Even if he got half of what he was asking for, he'd be pitching right now. And right now he's getting nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. Maybe those are his only two clients? I don't know.
No, he's got some others as well. But, it's so weird.
Yeah. We'll see how that – I'm be curious to watch be on the Kimber watch right now to see if he lands with the Braves. That'll be
Here's the other question. Let's say this was a negotiation for Ozzie Albies. What was the original number that the Braves came at him with?
Yeah, they probably
you compromise at a point, right?
Yeah, they're probably thinking, we're thinking we're going to go 85. So they sit down at the table with 85.6 in their mind. And the agent comes in and slides a piece of paper across the table. We're thinking 45.9. And the Braves pull their piece of paper back. Sounds good to us.
Yeah. They not only pull it back, they eat the piece of paper so that no one ever sees that it existed.
Jeez. Crazy. That's an odd one for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cheap.
So Shohei Ohtani is coming back.
Yeah.
He's doing some BP now. First time since surgery. That's a pretty quick turnaround. He had the surgery when? In November?
And he's they were saying that he would be back in the lineup in May, and he could hit that target easily. Now, I was making jokes at the time. They're like, that means June or July.
Right.
But because it's just batting, it's not pitching.
Right. So he's back in the lineup, should help a little bit, but the Angels pitching, even their lineup isn't producing.
They just swept by the Yankees, and the Yankees are all all guys you've never heard of.
Right. I know the MASH core out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even their AAA team.
Right. It's not. It's not. They're the fact that they're the Yankees have been able to kind of go on, what, 8-2 over their last 10 games, yeah, something like that, is pretty amazing. You know, that with the
match, especially with Aaron Boone as their manager, like, it's shocking.
So how do you feel about the whole thing now as we look at Alex Cora? He's surrounded by superstars that aren't performing, and you have Boone surrounded by the walking wounded and is getting more out of it. To me, that just in many ways.
Is he getting more out of them, or is it you can't predict baseball?
You can't. No, that's what I was just going to say.
The moves, Boone's moves are still suspect.
I was just going to say, though, it's players being players, whether it's injuries, whether it's slumps, whether it's psychology, whether it's a World Series hangover. It's the players, not so much the manager. Clubhouse cancers when players turn on their manager, I get that. But when they're underperforming in the way that the Red Sox are, I don't blame Alex Cora. But I think some people are like, you know, it's like Alex Cora won a World Series last year in his first year with a lot of players that were just playing with each other for the first time. Not a lot, but a handful of players playing with each other. So he accolades him, but now they're like, he looks like a deer in the headlights in the dugout. It's like, really? In 1 year?
The big mistake, or I guess the big strategy that didn't pay off, and the Dodgers had a little bit of this with a couple of their pitchers, was this thing of like holding the starters back in spring training.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, well, they pitched well into October and then whatever, right up to the end of October. And so they were like, oh, well, let's make them pitch less the next year. But the starting pitchers just did not look ready to go.
No. So they should be ready come May. May 1st, right?
Right. So theoretically, come May, they should be able to pour on the gas and, you know, stop the other team from scoring 8 runs and keep it down to like 3 or 4 like they were last year. And but the offense has always also been kind of stagnant.
Yeah.
Mookie's been
Martinez,
kind of
nothing.
JD Martinez is hitting .360, but it's like all singles and doubles, 4 home runs. Yeah. Like in a league where everyone's hitting home runs now because the ball's juiced, like 4 home runs ain't gonna cut it.
Yeah, 4 home runs, 10 RBI, something like that. It's like,
In my big money league, my big money fantasy league, that was my first pick. I was like, do I do Yelich or JD Martinez? Ooh. Yelich, Martinez. Yeah. And I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna take JD Martinez. Wah, wah.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that he's not gonna stay at this pace.
Yeah, it'll pick up. It just, you know, if the weather gets warmer and he gets his stroke back or whatever. Yeah. But like, man, it's not looking good for his opt out.
Well, I picked, you know, in our draft, I picked 3 guys, got him at pretty good value. I thought maybe Votto is right on the board, but Joey Votto, Rizzo, and JD Martinez. I'm like, I'm going to get some production. All 3 of them suck so far.
That's the truth, isn't it? Right.
It's like, ugh, killing me. I was expecting 100 home runs from those 3 guys and ain't coming close, you know, to that number. So it's good times at the start.
Yeah, maybe
here's the thing.
Maybe Rizzo and Bryant for the Cubs just aren't that good anymore.
Well, Bryant's getting a lot of piling on him right now. Just basically
like,
saying,
you mean because of his 1 home run and his .240 batting average?
Yeah, it's just that is it over? And it's kind of like, it's, you know, he needs to change the mechanics in his swing. That's the part that drives me nuts about the whole thing with hitting. It's like, maybe you get some bad habits and you can fix those bad habits, but if you're overhauling your swing, you know, when you're in the middle of your prime, something's to me, it's more psychological. It's got to be more psychological, because once you start messing with mechanics like that, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
We'll see how that one plays out.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Shohei Ohtani, and we wound up talking about everything else, but that's okay. So do you think we even had a post on our Foul Territory site about Mike Trout, and, you know, people were talking about, should they trade him? And they're like, oh, they just signed him to this big deal. But if the Angels aren't going to surround him with good players.
The Angels will never trade Mike Trout.
Never trade him.
They will never trade Mike Trout. It doesn't matter. Honestly, they will never trade him. The marketing, this is the thing. This is a team that's owned by a marketing expert.
Right.
And he will never be able to trade for the marketing that Mike Trout provides.
even if it's in the best interest of the long term.
Even if it's in the best interest of it doesn't matter to him.
It's the dollars.
He's the one that signed that Pujols thing, and the Pujols contract is terrible, yes,
but TV dollars.
It paid for itself because it got him the TV dollars. And yeah. Mike Trout, and you know, when Mike Trout was starting off and he was kind of like this understated thing, and he was kind of like the biggest secret, you know, like only baseball people know about him, and he's got 10 WAR seasons, you know, and like he's clearly the best player in baseball. But now, like, everyone's catching on. Like, the common people, the non-hardcore baseball fans know Mike Trout. Mm-hmm. The Angels will never trade him.
Too valuable.
It's too valuable business-wise. Like, these teams, it is a business, but, like, when you have guaranteed ticket sales...
Because of a player or two.
Because of a player,
yeah.
You have to keep him now. You know, and like this is a thing that like you have a Mike Trout on your team and that gets you fans that you wouldn't necessarily be getting otherwise, especially they're the Los Angeles Angels,
right?
Sorta. And they're competing with like Bellinger and Seager and Kershaw over with the Dodgers, and Urias looks like maybe next year is going to be his breakout year. He threw a one hitter the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, he threw a one-hitter over, what, 7 innings? It's like, okay, good, back to the bullpen for you.
Right.
Okay, Urias. And Bueller, and like, the Dodgers have all of these names. Plus, Verdugo's breaking out.
Right.
What do the Angels have? They have Trout.
That's it.
And they have a couple guys coming. Joe Adell's going to be a star, but like, Trout's it.
Yeah, pitching is the most important thing that they need right now.
And they have Canning. They got with that guy whose last name is Canning. I don't know what his first name is. Grayson Canning or something like that. I don't know. And that's a good pitcher coming. But it's not like some electric guy like a Forrest Whitley or Brent Honeywell or something like that. It's like they just don't have that coming. Whereas the Dodgers have Dustin May currently with a 1.2 ERA in AA. And they have this other guy. I can't remember his name. Something... Is it Grove or something? And it's just like they just got guys coming and coming and coming, whereas the Angels just have hitters.
Yeah. So, but Mike Trout said one of his decisions in signing the long-term deal was he liked what he saw where they were going.
Absolutely. And just he just doesn't have to face their starting pitching.
He goes, I like the hitting.
He's not looking at that.
Hopefully for a player like of that caliber, and there's been, you know, players not of Mike Trout's caliber, but who have been lifelong with a team and never made it to the dance.
Right.
And you feel bad for those guys never getting the World Series. But you know, hopefully he will, because, you know, you put somebody like him on the October stage for, you know, 4 series or 3 series, and that makes a big impact on his brand. So yeah. the kids that see him will be like, wow, I've never seen Mike Trout play before. Wow, this is amazing. It would be awesome for baseball to have him, the best player, be in on the biggest stage, a la Tiger Woods, you know, winning the Masters type of thing.
That was amazing.
It was great for golf.
And like, what was everyone doing that Sunday?
Everyone
was like, okay, well, everyone heard about it. Social media is going crazy. Everyone heard about it. Turn on the TV. Is he going to do it? And Trout has that skill.
And he has that skill and that recognition in California. It needs that bigger stage to...
But I think the bigger problem with the Angels is, like, they haven't gotten lucky with any of their prospects coming up. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how sometimes a team will just call up a player and you're just like, well, whatever,
Walker Buehler,
not a top 100 guy. Buehler, exactly. And it's like, oh, well, wait a minute. Now all of a sudden he's one of the best 50 players in the game?
Right.
Like, where'd that come from? You know, and there are teams... Like Mark Farm Systems and all the, you know, all the experts who track the best 100 players and all that. And they just like, there are these guys who just sort of slip through the cracks and like, who's it? Corey Kluber. He wasn't on anyone's top 100 ever. Right. Guy won a Cy Young, almost won another. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. A little choppy this season, but like, where did that come from?
Right.
The Angels haven't gotten anyone like that, any lucky break with a prospect.
Or with a signing, like they sign, what's his name? Dark Knight, and he does nothing.
Right.
He of the 8+ ERA. I guess he pitched well the other night against the Yankees, though. 7 innings, 2 runs, I think. So he kind of, I think, got his ERA down to 6-something.
He's no Joe Kelly.
No. So, yeah, tell me a little bit about this. You know, seeing these two names in the same sentence makes absolutely no sense. Fernando Rodney and Cy Young, what is their now lifelong connection?
They are. They have both played the same amount of games.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, back in the day with Cy Young, like, he started, like, every other game.
Sure.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you need extra innings? Yeah, no problem. And I don't know how these guys were able to throw like this, and maybe it was just, like, the guys with the arms that could take it just did it.
Mm-hmm.
But they, Cy Young, of course, he has the unbreakable wins record.
Yeah. 511, something like that.
Yeah, it's like, it's just completely impossible for anyone in the modern game to get there. But yeah, so Rodney has been around long enough that he has as many games as Cy Young. So that's something to shoot an arrow at, right?
That's right. And you think about that too. You know, 300 wins is kind of like the demarcation line for Hall of Fame. You know, not consideration, but it's kind of a lock. That's going to go by the wayside within 10 years.
I mean, it might get down to like 225 or something like that.
Yeah. It's just
doesn't have the same ring as 300, does it?
No, it doesn't. It does not.
Maybe it'll all just be switch over to war. Of course, they keep adjusting war now, right? So then it's like, whoop, he's in. Oh, nope. We adjusted war. He's out. That's the one problem that I have with war is it's a good reference. You know, wins above replacement is a good reference point, but it's not like what you decide things on.
Right.
Like we've had this conversation before about, you know, people get all upset like, well, you can't just look at the war and pick the MVP. Like, no, I'm not saying that's what you do. I'm just saying you look at the war to see who's in the discussion.
Right. I think the war is a good tool for saying when you're at the 10 side versus when you're at the -1 side, it gives you a spectrum to say who falls into what camp.
Right, exactly. So, like, if you're looking at, like, 3 or 4 players and one of them has a war of 5 and the others have 8 or 9, and you just take the 5 guy out of the equation. Doesn't matter what their numbers are. Just take them out of the equation. And then you look at the 8 and 9 guys and see, like, what's the context? Also, there's a new stat called win probability added, which is it's basically how much a player improved the team's likelihood of winning. That's another fun statistic to look at. And it's like by at bat, like per at bat, like can get like little fractions of percentages of points and stuff. And that's kind of interesting. But again, like if that formula changes, then those numbers shift. So you can't use that as like the end all be all.
Can you imagine if they had all the statistics back in the early days of baseball, not even the early days, Shoeless Joe, who couldn't even didn't know how to write the English language, could speak, it couldn't spell.
Or didn't know how to wear shoes, apparently.
Apparently. So imagine him, like, if you're going to that level of statistic, we have statistical analysis that we're going to be monitoring your per at-bat performance. You know, these people would be like, what are you talking about, man?
Yeah.
Just give me the bat. I'm going to go up there and take my cuts. Wherever. Right. Launch angle?
Well, there's still people like that. We don't have to go that far back, John. We just have to go to yesterday. There are guys who are like, I don't want to hear about the,
sabermetrics. Let me play ball. Yeah.
Cool. Go home to your black and white television, you hillbilly.
Have your mom bring you a fireside story before you go to bed. Statistics. A big part of the game.
All right, what else we got here?
I did want to bring up, we were talking about, you know, negative war. Chris Davis is on a tear.
Yes.
Chris with a C. Two home runs, 8 hits, and since we last spoke 2 weeks ago, wow, this guy's on fire.
Got healthy against those Red Sox.
He is earning his money now.
Well, he's earning a little bit of it.
A little bit of it. So the Boo Birds maybe quieted down a little bit. So
yeah,
I feel good for him because that was a rough patch for sure.
Yeah.
So let's see what else we got. Oh, Kate Smith is in the news. The long departed Kate Smith is making headlines. apparently she sang a whole bunch of songs back in the 30s that were considered...
She sang a couple of songs that by today's standard would be considered inappropriate. One of which was she did... It was, you know, making fun of African Americans, which of course is not acceptable, right, in today's thing. But at the time, this is what one of the things that they happened, and it's not good. But let's also keep in mind that when Kate Smith was singing these, one of the songs is like confirmed satire. It was also performed by an African American. This is when the Yankees did not allow African Americans to play baseball.
Right. Or baseball in general.
I'm just saying specifically the Yankees who have decided not to use Kate Smith. I'm just saying if we're looking into the past, into people's past, then the Yankees' past includes not letting African Americans play baseball. So shouldn't the Yankees cancel themselves?
Right. Take down, you know, like the statue of Kate Smith was taken down in Philadelphia. For the Flyers, because she was
Flyers. Yeah. But I don't know that did hockey ever have a black white thing?
I don't think so.
I just assumed African Americans didn't like playing hockey.
There's a couple. There's a handful.
No, I know there have been recently. But I don't know if it was like something where they were excluded.
She was
from
a big part of their win when they won the Stanley Cup back in the mid 70s. She sang live at their during the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, for them, that was a big part. Like, you know, the Red Wings throw octopi out onto the ice, and Kate Smith sang for them. So
now they're throwing Kate Smith out onto the ice.
The remains of Kate Smith. So yeah, it just that stuff is just hard to. I mean, I get it. I'm sensitive to the whole thing, but it's like we're going that far back. I can get you know, like the Kevin Hart thing, you know, saying insensitive things, but we're digging back, Josh Hader. We're digging way back into their past. If they're still like that, yeah, I got a problem with that. But if Kate Smith was still alive and she was 110 years old, whatever she would be right now, she would probably say, in today's culture, in the way things are, I can see that those were inappropriate in the past. It's more a matter of the people who might say it on one side of their mouth, and then on the other side of their mouth they're saying, like, I don't really care. I'm going to keep saying whatever I want about race and culture, and these are my beliefs, blah, blah, blah. Those are the people. Yeah. Those are the bad apples. So, yeah, that's our history lesson for this week. So
here's the thing. History has context.
It does.
Cultural stuff has cultural context.
Yeah, sure. I was watching. I was at a bar not too long ago, and they had this like loop of cartoons from, you know, it was probably, you know, Warner Brothers cartoon stuff, and it was in black and white, so it was a really old one, and it was all of this African American tribe. This guy was like this goofy looking dude was trying to sell door to door like an Acme hairbrush salesman, and he was not gonna. I mean, every stereotype you could have imagined of a tribal African-American was displayed in this.
Right.
And it was an acceptable cartoon. To watch it now is just kind of like jaw-dropping. Like, I can't believe this is, you know, happening. It's crazy that, okay, in the context of the time, completely acceptable.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's no one's going to be putting that out today.
Right.
That's just not going to happen. Okay, back to baseball.
I just hope no one looks into what I was doing 80 years ago, John.
I know, me neither. It's going to be, I'll have hell to pay. So the Bryce Harper jersey thing, what, I mean, I don't get this whole, we're going to, but I do see, I've seen it before. You've ever been to a ballpark where you have these guys selling these shirts, you know, on the fringes of the ballpark, and then a cop comes and they pack it all up and run.
Yeah.
You know,
the streets of New York are lined with these guys. They all have like different systems of like
notifying,
how displaying their stuff and like who's on the lookout. And
Yeah. That's and so there, it was a significant number, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think it was like 300 jerseys, which is not, I don't know, it doesn't seem like that much, but like the value of that is like $40,000, they estimated. Mm-hmm. But like, really, you're selling those knockoffs for what, like $25?
Right.
That's the thing I don't get is like, what's that, like $6,000? Is that really the big mega deal you want to go to federal prison for?
Scratching the surface on a much bigger problem.
Yeah.
It's a gateway drug. You know, one day you're buying jerseys, the next day you're hooked on opioids.
Right, but here's the thing. Like, if you're a Phillies fan and you really want to get a Bryce Harper jersey for $25, like, get a Ryan Howard jersey.
Right.
They're giving those away.
Right. Yeah, why not?
And just scratch out Howard and put Harper. Right. Like, you got the H already.
Yeah, you got the H, you got an R in there, you got an A. You're pretty close. That's pretty good. And then there's even, you know, more fake stuff going out there. This one's a big number.
Yeah.
So championship rings for what team? Or multiple teams?
It didn't say what teams. It just said a fake championship ring. I can't even, like, how do you... I guess because they do make a lot for the championship. They make a lot of them, right? Because they give them to, like, everyone. Like, they give them to the announcers. And they give them to the assistant bullpen.
If you're in the organization, coach. You're getting not maybe the player's rings, but a downsized, reasonable facsimile of such.
Right. And then, you know, like, they have those things where, like, you can't sell them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's $12 million in fake rings. That's a haul.
Yeah.
And big numbers. A rare Babe Ruth jersey is going on the market at auction. And they're putting a starting price tag at $4.5
million. $4.5 million. This is the thing about this country. Someone who's actually going to spend $4.5 million. Have you seen, I'm going to go back to politics for a second here. Have you seen the numbers that these 20 Democrats have raised?
Yeah, sick money.
It's, what? How do people have this much money?
I can't fathom that the idea of spending, you know, I'm more concerned about how I'm going to pay all my bills.
Yeah, but like, these guys are like $20 million. Let's just say the average so far is about $20 million. It's I think the average is more like 15, right? But like, let's say there's 10 of them, $15 million each. It's $150 million.
For politics.
And that's just like to choose one person.
Right. And only one of those 20 is going to make it. So all that other money goes for naught.
Yeah. those are like a sunk cost. Like the $75 million that Beto O'Rourke got to run for Senate as a Democrat in Texas.
Right. And didn't win.
You might as well just bet that $75 million on the Orioles this year. Like, it's not going to happen. It's Texas.
Right.
Like, this isn't like some Congress seat where, like, oh, it's a very left-leaning district. Like, this is Texas. Like, $75 million. I mean, you could get yourself, like, Mike Trout with that kind of money.
Yeah.
You could, like, hire Mike Trout.
Right, to hang out with you. That would be cool.
Let me ask you this. Do you think a baseball player would take double the pay to not play but just hang out with someone?
Probably not. It's the drive.
Probably not, right?
Yeah, it's the drive.
Because also you're talking about numbers of, like, who cares, right? Right.
Like
when you're talking like 30 million, what's the difference between 30 and 60 million?
Right. But I think it would matter who you're hanging out with. If you're hanging out with some schlub who made a fortune.
Fire Festival.
From his basement. No. But if you're talking about somebody who's in the limelight, would you want to hang out with Richard Branson and fly all over the world and do all crazy stuff with him? Maybe I would do that. Maybe. Yeah. But if it's just some guy who's like,
I don't think hang out and have pizza would with do it, me. Though. That's the thing. That's more the scenario I was talking about, by the way.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to do a DoorDash or?
Right. Can I have another grape knee-high?
All right, let's hurry up. I got to get going.
The Eric Burns story is a nice story. The most hyper person that I've ever seen, you know, on a baseball diamond. The guy was always moving. Goes out and plays 420 holes of golf in 24 hours.
420, baby.
420. Was it on 420?
I don't know if it was on 420.
That would have been awesome.
You got to assume it had to have been, right?
Yeah, and you know he wasn't 420 and because he would have never been able to play that many holes.
But you know afterwards he had the munchies.
He did. He definitely did. So let's move on to starting nine in honors of Avengers Endgame. Big story coming out. The conclusion. Who's dying? Who's staying? Nine players with to-be-continued story film names.
What if we did sequel films that are sequels to films where at the end of the story, you knew that there was going to be a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like when you saw Matrix, you didn't know there was going to be a sequel to Matrix.
Right, but you were hoping there would be.
Other than like it's Hollywood, so probably they're going to make a sequel.
Right, right.
But there's no like, oh, what we need to figure out what happens in the story next. It's still uncertain.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So like Back to the Future, you didn't think that. It had that sort of like fun teaser ending, but you didn't know it needed one until the second one. The second one was like, oh,
we have to finish this. Yeah.
It has to finish. And now the first one has a to be continued on it, but it didn't originally.
Right. Correct.
But the second one had a to be continued on the end. Because I remember sitting in the theater and just being like,
okay. Right. It's like, some of those movies, when they stop, like you're dead in the middle of it. You're kind of like, even like the first Lord of the Rings, it's kind of like, ugh, I need some more here. Come on.
That's right. That's right. Another great film that had that was the movie Time Walker.
I have never heard of that.
Yes, Time Walker. You didn't hear about that one?
No.
This is a terrible film, but at the end of the film, they had the cojones.
Wishful thinking.
To say, to be continued.
On somebody else's dime, not the ones that invested in this one.
And that movie did not do well, and it was not to be continued. But what's the other one? The Golden Compass is that way.
Uh-huh.
That one, it didn't do well. You can see why it didn't. Like, if you watch it, it's a mess of a story and film. And whatever,
John Carter? Was that, that kind of was hoping it would be a continued, I think, when they
I never actually watched John Carter, so I don't know if the story continued.
Yeah, but there's films that they're hoping would be franchises, and they perform so poorly that it's like,
I mean, honestly, I hope my films are franchises. You know what I mean? Like Nowhere Girl 2, Somewhere Girl.
She was here a minute ago, girl.
Anywhere Girl. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's not slut shame her.
So what do we got?
All right. So sequels, player names, sequels, Avengers, Ender Game, Inciarte.
There you go.
All right. Cody Alien Covenant.
Okay. Alien Covenant.
Alien Covenant. Mm-hmm. Very tricky series there, because none of the Alien films are sequels that to films where the storyline continued, except for the storyline in Prometheus.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch Prometheus, you're like, oh, okay, so then there's going to be more, because she goes off at the end with what's his name? Fassbender.
Right.
Okay, so you're like, oh, okay, so here comes the sequel. The sequel was Alien Covenant, which in itself is indicating that there's going to be a sequel to that as well.
Yes.
But we don't have that sequel yet, so we can't do it on our list. All right, next. Mikey Matuk of the Matak of the Clones. Star Wars Attack of the Clones.
Okay, good.
That's the prequel. It's the second one you knew, blah, blah, blah. Robinson Back to the Futurinos 3.
Futurinos.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Lord of the Rings. Here we go. Troy the Tulowitzki Towers.
Okay. Good.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's the second one where we knew it was coming from the first one. All right. The Hobbit, The Desolation of Justin Smaug.
Very good.
The Matrix Revolutions Doolittle.
Oh, very good. Revolutions.
Yeah.
Now pitching Revolutions Doolittle.
Return of the Jedi Lowry.
Very good.
All right. That's another one where we didn't know after Star Wars that there was going to be a sequel.
Right. But then there was.
But we knew after Empire that there was going to be a sequel.
Right.
The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Bruce.
I have yet to see the last one. Gotta dial that one in. I saw the other ones.
Yeah.
First one was good. Yeah. Second one, eh.
The second one, definitely you knew there was going to be a third one. Whereas the first one, you only knew there was going to be a second one because of the,
right,
books existing.
But then the third one also, after the second one, you knew there was going to be a third one, but it was going to be in two parts.
Right.
So there'd be a third and a fourth.
That's a whole other thing.
That's a whole nother starting.
I mean, you got all the Harry Potters in here too, but we won't bother with that. Last one, Justin the Bourne Ultimatum.
That's good ones. All good. Very good. Golf clap.
Strong.
Yeah, very strong. Liking it. So let's move on to extra innings. Taking a look outside the world of baseball. Tiger Woods and the Masters, we talked about that a little bit. That was big stuff. Big theater, big comeback, big. It's a big story. I know a lot of people are, you know, kind of a lot of people like, who cares? It's, you know, Tiger Woods, what he did was awful and blah, blah, blah. But from a physical
what do you mean what he did was awful? Like, he's living the dream.
Banging hookers.
Yeah. Banging cocktail waitresses.
Yeah. Yeah. He had
the only people who think that's awful are people who are jealous.
Right. But the injury, let's put all the marital things and the infidelity things aside. The injury that he had was he could not even stand up. He could not swing a golf club, let alone hold one.
Let alone bang cocktail waitresses. Right.
To be able to come back from that, to be able to get to the highest stage again is, especially at age 43, which, you know, golfers do break through. Jack Nicklaus won at 46, but Jack Nicklaus was a freak at that time that he came back and won. That was an unusual story. Tiger Woods is still good. It wasn't a fluke. He could win several more major championships if he stays healthy. The comeback for people who don't understand what he had to do to get back, it is a pretty phenomenal story.
Yeah.
And also that, you know, you look at Francisco Molinari, who dominated for all but six, seven holes, didn't have a bogey the entire round until he plunks one in the water on the 12th hole and everything turns around. And then
there's one thing we know about Tiger Woods is he dominates holes.
Good for Tiger.
It's what ruined his marriage.
It is. But it improved his golf game.
He was like, I need to take this attitude out onto the golf course.
So we'll keep this next one short, although we could probably talk about these two playoff scenarios for a while because there's been
the only
high
one I
want
to talk about is that Damian Lillard
the three
shot.
That
the
was
the three
crazy.
Pointer. I have never seen anything like that.
It's like he was playing for the 37-foot shot.
Yeah,
it was like
look,
I'm
that
let
was
it,
the plan.
That was the plan. I'm going to launch from almost half court. I'm just going to play
it's
with
you.
It's
that tin cup moment, though,
yeah,
right?
Like, it is.
It's like, well, yeah, I could drive the lane and try to draw a foul or try to do a layup or pass it off or whatever. Or
I'll just nail 37-footer.
I could step to the side and nail a 37-foot three-pointer. Do you know his field goal percentage in that range this year is 40%?
That's crazy. That's crazy. And yet that gave him 50 points. And he knew that's what he wanted. He wanted the 50 points. He was shooting a three, whether it was a quarter of an inch inside the line or at half court. He was going for the three.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy. And some of the hockey playoffs have gone to game sevens in the first round. All the favorites have been knocked out already. It's crazy.
Yeah. Crazy. I mean, I don't like to be one of those bandwagon guys, but I only watch playoff hockey. I don't know. I don't have time to. That's not true. I did start watching some regular season games this year, trying to get into my Bruins a little bit.
And they had a great comeback, down 3-2, come back and win. Smoked them in the Garden, 5-1 in game seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's,
yeah, it wasn't really close.
Yeah. There was the big controversy in the Sharks Vegas Knights series, because the Knights were up 3-0 with 12 minutes to go in the game and lost 4-3 in overtime. And it was because of a controversial major penalty call that when you look at the replay, it's like, how was that called a major? Guy got hurt, understood, but he lost his balance and fell. It changed the whole tone of the game and crazy.
This isn't soccer, you know?
right. You know, landing on the ground on ice when you're on, you know, two razor thin pieces of metal, you lose your balance, you could fall weird. Not when not when somebody, you know, runs by you and you launch yourself in the air as if someone shoved you from behind. Yeah. But we can talk about soccer. Well, probably rarely.
Let's finish this thing up with a happy ending, John.
Okay. Happy endings. The best happy endings of all. When you're old and someone still touches your junk. Robert Kraft has video evidence. There is video evidence of him. I don't know if it's inside the room. I don't know what evidence they have.
I mean, that's the rumor, is that it's inside the room.
Oof, the room where it happens.
Yes.
So, but the judge ruled that we're going to keep that closed for now.
Yeah. So good for Robert Kraft.
Yeah, I guess we're not going to see what he looks like. Maybe good for us.
Good for everyone.
So what's coming up next?
Everybody loves reboots, John, so watch the baseball version of the TV show MASH, starring the Yankees, with Aaron Judge as Pierce, Luis Severino as Radar, and Miguel Andujar as Hot Lips.